A little earlier on this evening, we heard from none other than Stephen Larkham, who was here last week to give his expert opinions on the live commentary and live punditry during the live coverage on OSN. During that interview, he mentioned his long-term playing partner and great friend, George Gregan, who goes down as one of the all-time greats, not when it just comes to Australian rugby, but to rugby union in general. He has made more appearances for his national team than any other player in the sport's history. He has been there, done that when it comes to action on the rugby field, a Rugby World Cup winner, and in everybody's, well, the majority of people's top 15 of all time. He's also a man who's committed a lot to rugby here in the region. He is an ambassador for HSBC and has recently been appointed for HSBC Middle East for the second year round as an ambassador. Besides his involvement in the HSBC-sponsored Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Harlequins Junior Rugby Tournament, which took place yesterday, he'll also be down here for the Sevens in a couple of weeks, facilitating a number of rugby coaching sessions during that week, along with Gavin Hastings, another of the appointed ambassadors, and others. The good news is he's still here in the UAE, and he's taken time out of a busy schedule to speak to us live on the line. No doubt one eye on England against Australia on the screen, one ear to the grill and the other up here at the Barasti at the moment. But George Gregan, a huge thanks for taking time out to speak to us. And Griggs, I think the last time I saw you, you were showing us your DJing skills in the HSBC tent after the Sevens last year.
That was it. It was a very good memory. Yeah, we had a great little marquee set up at during the Sevens last year in Dubai, and I think hopefully it'll be continuing. And we celebrated what was it, a great event that obviously culminated in a great victory for the English team last year, if my memory serves me correctly. And yeah, we had a great time out at the stadium.
Listen, second year on the trot, you've signed up as an ambassador for HSBC Middle East to help promote junior rugby, not just in Abu Dhabi, but across the entire region through a series of festivals. Why, for you, is this part of the world, and specifically grassroots junior rugby, so important?
Well, I think probably the key thing about grassroots rugby, it just gives, I think, young children and young kids who take up the game, something to aspire to, and you can just pass on. And you need to look, when you took up the sport myself, and if someone came along who'd been involved in the sport at a high level and was able to sort of participate in some coaching sessions, in some clinics, which is what HSBC does with these types of events, then it can be really inspiring for those kids to enjoy the sport and say, hang on, I might be able to take this to another level. And I think that's probably one of the big drivers. And obviously passing on what is a great sport, which is rugby, in this part of the world, getting some of the local people, the Emiratis, understanding what a great game it is and how different shapes and sizes, in terms of your physique, allow you to play the game of rugby. You could be a prop, you could be a halfback, you could be a lock, it doesn't matter. There's a place for you on the rugby field, and everything which goes with rugby, you know, teamwork, camaraderie, you know, good sportsmanship, and also just having a bit of integrity about the way you go about your business. So I think that's probably the key things, the key drivers. It's very easy to pass that on because it's been a big part of my life, rugby.
You come from a country where rugby is a culture. It's ingrained in so many of the nationals down in Australia. Not the case here in the UAE at the moment. It is a relatively new sport for the Emiratis here across the region. Through your coaching clinics, through the interaction you've had at these festivals, what's been your impression of the local talent coming through the ranks, even from a junior level?
Well, I think it's definitely improving. Like, I just need to go through what we did here with the Etihad and Harlequins Junior HSBC Rugby Festival in Abu Dhabi. It was wonderful seeing a couple of Emirati teams playing in this competition over the week, over the weekend. And I actually spoke with one of the coaches yesterday, and he said it's been really great for the players because they had one win, they had a loss, and they're going into their third game, which they lost narrowly, but they really enjoyed the experience of competition, travelling to a venue like this, playing against teams from Muscat and Bahrain, and understanding, gee, this is what rugby's all about. And I think that's probably been the key driver, I think, to them enjoying the game, the fact that they can compete with a whole range of different players from different parts of this region, and it's a great sport.
You mentioned there the other venues for the youth rugby festivals that HSBC have got behind across the region. We'll post them up on our Facebook page and mention them to viewers a little later on. But I just want to talk quickly about another big event on the horizon, the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens, just around the corner. You've confirmed that you will be there again in your role with HSBC, and teeing it up this year with an old acquaintance, an old foe on the field, a friend off it, Gavin Hastings, Scottish legend. A good bit of banter to be expected between Mr. Gregan and Mr. Hastings?
It should be a lot of fun. You know, we actually did some work earlier in the year at Hong Kong where they had a lot of the ambassadors there, because it was the first time in about, I think 14, 15 years that HSBC had been the naming rights sponsor, along with Cathay, and I think they're going to be the sole naming rights sponsor next year. So we had a really good week, and it was a really busy week, but a really enjoyable week, and everything that was good about rugby was exhibited there in Hong Kong. It'll be no different this week in Dubai, I'd imagine.
And I mentioned Jason Robinson there, Griggs. News coming through to us that he's decided to put the boots back on for this year. He's turning out for joining Jack Charity. So can we expect you to come back out of retirement for a little run around?
Not a chance. Not a chance. Like, it's fantastic to see him doing that. So, but I know he's going to be really sore. I remember spending a really good week with him last year, and he's talking about how he's never going to put the boots on. But here he is. Never say never. And I guess you could probably say the same about myself. But it's great that he's doing it for a wonderful cause, and I'd be really good seeing him out there. He's still got the footwork, but I don't think he has the top end speed he had in the past. That's what he tells me anyway.
George, it's really kind that you've taken time to join us, especially with what's going on over in Twickenham at the moment, one of the must-see games. I'm sure you're chomping at the bit to see what's going on. Let's just bring you up today with what the score is. Let's go over to Mark Archer.
Yeah, quick score here for George of something you won't be too happy with. England 3, it's a penalty to Toby Flood after 3 minutes. Australia 0, but Australia started the game quite well and putting a lot of pressure on the English. George, just want to get your thoughts quickly on the whole coaching scenario in Australia. Robbie Deans, much celebrated in Super Rugby. He's been in Australia now for 5 years. Is his era almost up, or you've got to persevere with him and get him through all these injuries and get the best players back on the field, and they'll be again a threat in world rugby?
It's a big question. So probably the most asked question in Australian sport at the moment, in terms of Willie or Waini. I think the thing this year has been, it's been one of those like horrific years in terms of the injury toll. So you haven't had the combination. You've had to use a lot of staff, playing personnel, so to speak. It's not an excuse, it's just the reality. I think, and particularly with some of the players that he's lost throughout the course of the year, from a leadership role, but also just the sort of players they are, they're very, very important. People like James Hall, or people like Will Genia, Quade Cooper to a degree in terms of coming back from injury. You also have Pat McCabe had some period out as well. We've had injuries with James O'Connor hasn't played a test match this year, so they're really key players in terms of our attack. And I think that's probably the thing when I look at the Wallabies this year, which has probably been the disappointing aspect from previous years. Their attack's been, not at the level that probably you'd expect it to be. So they're not scoring the tries, which I think is so important, particularly when you're playing the Rugby Championship, particularly when the Australian team plays well, because they're a very good attacking team when they have those players on the field, and they're a real threat in terms of putting pressure on teams, and they don't have that. So long-winded answer to a degree, but I think if you can get those players on the field, there's going to be a stronger possibility they'll play at a higher level. But consistency is the big thing. You know, like you saw it again last performance, they had a good result. Like, no one likes a draw against the All Blacks. Then they backed that up with a poor result against France. So there's that ebb and flow, which they just like to sort of, I think they'd just like to iron out and make it more consistent, and that's got to happen.
Interesting stat that you brought up there, George. Robbie Deans has been forced to use 40 players in Australia's 12 tests this year. It probably goes back to there's probably not the serious, depth of talent in Australian rugby, but they've had to juggle positions and players. You've got Kirtley Beale, who traditionally plays at 15, playing at 10. I think you're on your third string halfback now, and to develop those combinations, particularly in attack, you just need a bit of consistency to get the James O'Connors and the Digby Onis fit, and these guys playing just together much more regularly. Is that what you think? It's just the depth isn't quite there, and they need these top line combinations playing to probably justify that second or third ranked position in world rugby.
I think it's a good point, and it's been like a war of attrition this year. So there's a lot of emotion out there, but I think if you break it down and you look at the facts, that has been the case, and it makes it hard. In reality, particularly if your halves, like I'm not being biased towards it, but if your halves are playing consistently a lot together, you just need to look at a team like the All Blacks this year. Aaron Smith just slotted in, but they had a guy like Piriwipu coming off the bench, but he's had consistency in the person he's been throwing the pass to. It's been someone like Dan Carter, bar one test match where he had an injured calf. But the other players around him, it's very consistent, like Ma Nonu, you had Conrad Smith. That's combinations, and they've been able to manage the injuries, and they've kept those players on the field, and it counts. It really does count when you're playing the best teams in the world, because under pressure, combination and have an understanding of what the person inside and outside of you is doing makes a big difference.
George, we know you're a big golf fan. You'll be pleased to see Michael Campbell leading the Hong Kong Open today. I know you've attended a couple of majors with him in the past. Delighted for his form?
Oh, it's fantastic to see Campbell. I actually saw him. He's turned the corner a little bit this year. I saw him have a great finish in the French. He's had some good results also in recent tournaments in the European Tour. So, you know, he's a guy, he's a winner. Like, he's won the US Open and he had Tiger Woods chasing him. So I hope, you know, he knows how to close it out. So I just hope he gets in contention. He's on the back nine on a Sunday, as they say. He's going down the stretch with a chance to win, and he knows how to win. So, mate, I'll be backing him 100%, that's for sure. He's a good mate and he's a great competitor.
George, it's an absolute pleasure to have you with us here on The Grill. I know you're going to gallop off to watch the rest of the England-Australia game. Looking forward to having you back here in the UAE very soon. Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens, 30th of November to the 1st of December. And then, of course, the HSBC Youth Rugby Festival continues in the new year. January here in Dubai, March over in Doha, April in Bahrain. All the details up on our Facebook page right now. Which begs the question, Griggs, how is the coffee culture, the cafe culture of Sydney going to cope with you here so much during the next couple of months?
It does well. It's done well without me in the past. My wife drives that. We've got a good team of people. You know, you need a good team. You've got to be able to substitute. And not that I'm there consistently, but that's the main thing. And, you know, when you get over to Sydney, it'll be my shout on a coffee, 100%.
You're a good man, you're a good man. We look forward to catching up with you again in a couple of weeks here in Dubai. But for now, enjoy the rest of your time here in the UAE, down in Abu Dhabi. Thanks very much indeed for being with us.